Grace and peace be to you in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For almost all of my preaching time in the ministry, I've usually drawn on the lessons that are set down each week as a guide to prepare for preaching of word and sacrament. There's only a few times that I've strayed from that. And the wonderful thing that I've found about it is that so many times when I've looked at the texts that are set down for the Sunday, how they speak into the lives of the people I'm able to proclaim it to. Quite uniquely, I can't give you a lot of examples at the moment, but I can often be surprised. I shouldn't be surprised, should I? Because, I mean, that's the purpose of God's word, is to speak into the now of people's lives. I think it was three Sundays ago I was privileged to lead you in worship, and I spoke about the old prophet Jeremiah. If you were here, remember I gave you a quick road test on him, didn't I? Well, I'm going to speak about Isaiah this morning, but I'm not going to give you a road test on him. Actually, Jeremiah's message, his prophecy he brought to people, if you might remember, was one of doom and gloom, and he was not a happy chappy, and the people weren't very happy with him either. This time, as Isaiah proclaims to the same people, different circumstances, proclaims to the same people a message of hope, a message of assurance, a message of promise. So I thought, here's two prophecies from two old prophets blending together in their own unique way. I thought, I usually have a theme for my sermons, and I didn't have one. I didn't get to one by the time it was to be typed up. I was actually going to have water in the word. But of course, you would all immediately think of baptism. Yes. And this is not really about baptism. So instead, I chose a title which is God's Word, Its Power and Its Purpose. Or purpose and power, whichever way you want to put it. Okay. In the Old Testament reading of Isaiah, we find the prophet telling the people of Israel about the power and the purpose of snow and rain, and the power and the purpose of God's word. That's the linking. Back in, I think, 2009, my wife and I went on a journey to the Holy Land, and we left Mount Sinai, a monastery, St. Catherine's Monastery, and we drove up to the border of Israel. We drove for somewhere between 3 or 4 hours through the most barren, desolate land I've ever seen. Nothing in Australia can... We drove for 3 or 4 hours and all we saw was rocks and sand, sand and rocks all the way. It was so stark for some 300 or 400 kilometres, 300 kilometres. And yet amidst that rocks and sand and mountains that we drove through, every now and then you would come across a little village, 4 or 5, 10 little huts, and you would think, what on earth are they making a living from? And while you were thinking that, you'd turn another corner, and here's a bloke, a shepherd, leading his goats and sheep down the road, 20, 30 of them, something like that. Where to? I haven't got a clue. There's not a blade of grass within a bull's roar. And yet, they make an existence. I now know, of course, that in the gullies of those hills and such forth, there is moisture, there is growth, there is substance. And yet, to look at it, why anyone would want to live there, let alone fight over it, I don't know. So the people that heard this prophecy initially knew well and truly what Isaiah was on about. They lived in a dry, a barren, a hot place, and they had come to know and value the importance of rain and snow as being essential for their existence. They knew the purpose and the power of these blessings of rain and snow as the seasons came and went, delivering good seasons and, I guess, some not so good seasons. Of course, in Australia, this is not foreign to us either. Our state has the privilege, so I'm told, of being the driest state in the driest continent in the world. We too know of the struggle with droughts, the lack of rain. While we are a country of little snow compared with many other countries, the snow we do get does have a big impact on our existence. For example, I think it was back in the 1950s or 60s that we developed the Snowy River scheme, in which we captured what little snow we had as best we could and utilised it for farming and for power. Our reading begins with the words Isaiah says, and I quote, "The rain and snow comes down from the heavens and does not return until they have watered the earth, bringing forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater." Now, I don't think you have to be Einstein. You don't even have to be a Christian to understand that particular statement. Rain, snow comes down, waters the earth, produces fruit for the sower and bread to eat. But that's only half of what Isaiah is saying here. And we need to hear the other half to get the complementary message that's being prophesied here. The reading goes on to say, "So shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but shall accomplish what I purpose and succeed in the things which I send it." Here ends the second part. I'm told that people have lived without food for as much as up to 30 days, depending on circumstances. Yet in essence, we cannot live much beyond 8 or 9 days without water. So essential. So now I want to put those two pieces together. I'm going to read them as one unit. Again, God says, "The rain and snow comes down from the heavens and does not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to eat. So shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it will accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the things for which I sent it." As surely as God sends rain and snow, he also sends his word, a word which waters his creation with life-giving effect, a word which is fully revealed in the Christ who became the living word in the person of our Lord Jesus, a word which most of us first experienced in the waters of our baptism, which first began our journey of faith, a word whose purpose not only offers the promises of eternal life through faith in Jesus, but also gives to us an abundance of life's blessings right here and now, a word whose power is experienced through the fruits and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, again given to each and every one, that power which enables us to give witness to the word. As I said, Isaiah's prophecy 2,600 years ago is not only for the Israelites, but also for the people of the 21st century. For you, so that we may also realize that we too are to encounter the power and the purpose of God's word. I guess it's easy for us to observe the world when it lacks rain and snow, because we can easily see with our eyes the devastation that the world is like without water. Sadly, Africa seems to have more issues with that consequence than ourselves, as it seems one country after another seems to go from one famine to another famine. And there's nothing more devastating than the photos we see of children in the terrible state of lack of the simplicity of food and water. But not so easily seen is a world without the Word of God. Although, then again, I might suggest the evidence is right before our eyes. Perhaps it's not in a barren land or starving animals or dead trees or shifting sands. But search the eyes of those whose hearts ache for peace instead of war, those who weep for the lost and lonely, those who despair for families torn apart, those who live without hope. Of course, when a drought comes to an end, when rain brings an almost instant relief to an ugly world, suddenly, becomes beautiful once again. What a difference a few drops of rains can do. Even here in the Adelaide Hills, which I don't think we class as being drought country, but even here in the Adelaide Hills, at the end of a dry, hot summer, and we get those autumn rains coming in, maybe some late summer rains coming in, and our world is transformed within a matter of days. From that which looked dead to something with new life. I wonder why we don't see the same response of God's word as we see the response of rain upon barren land. When the rain comes, does the barren land say, not now, come back later? Of course not. Matter of fact, the land seeks, it yearns, it despairs for the rain. For the rain brings, it brings new life. The land knows the purpose and the power of rain is to bring new life, continuing life. Perhaps like myself, you're a fan of David Attenborough and his many documentaries that he does. So often we see in some of those documentaries the migratory movement of animals or birds who primarily are in search of water. And we see them in their thousands and sometimes millions moving from one place to another, following that trail of water and usually ending up back where they started from. God sends his word to us. Too many simply say, not now, come back later, or worse still, just ignore it. Perhaps the greatest difference between the natural world and the worlds of humanity is that the natural world does not deny its true state, its true need. Humans, on the other hand, are very clever at denying their true state, who and what they are. I don't mean to suggest that everybody is evil and bad. Of course not. But it's recognising that we are not as God would have us be, growing and blooming in his grace. You see, the purpose of God's word, first and foremost, is to help us to see God as he truly is and to see ourselves as we truly are. Not through tinted glasses, but as we truly are. We might appear to be healthy, wealthy and wise to the rest of the world, maybe even to ourselves. But the purpose of God's word is to reveal, honestly, the nakedness of who we are. We are sinners to a greater or lesser degree. We have separated ourselves from God, and yet this God won't let us go. I hope God doesn't see the 6 o'clock news, because that is so shattering. But he will not let us go. God sends his word to us that we might discover the power and the purpose of that word in our lives. He doesn't send us simply to make us squirm and feel uncomfortable, but rather that the power of God's word might restore us, like rain restores a barren land, may restore us to that which God created us for. That's the change God wants his word to have upon us, upon you and I, that we might become the glorious creation that God once intended us to be. Actually, always intended us to be. God's word accomplishes this through faith in Jesus, in what God has done through the one who is indeed the living word. This is the power of the word, the grace of God, that which is revealed in the life, death and resurrection of Jesus. That power which took away our sin, that power that washed us just like the rain washes a barren land, washing away our sin, restoring us with the righteousness of Christ, destroying the power of sin and death so that we might live, not only now, but in eternity. I imagine someone might think, yes, Pastor, I know, the same old, heard it before. And so the water of God runs off them like water on the back of a duck. You know, it's marvellous. When you think about water, I'm not sure where it starts. Does it start with water or cloud or ice or sea? Where does it start? But it beautifully comes and serves its purpose in whatever form God has decreed. It then returns back, for want of a word, to the heavens and begins the cycle again and again. And I always wonder, Are we receiving the same water just again and again? Is it new created water? You can give me your answer to that later on if you like. Okay. But isn't it beautiful, the cycle that God has enabled in his creation? You see, we're not the first ones to invent recycling, are we? No, we're not. Thank God and praise him that he has got a recycling system which is indeed a blessing to all. You see, God doesn't waste his word. In fact, he assures us that not one drop of his word will return to him until it has accomplished the purpose and the power that he sent it for. And that's exactly what Isaiah reminds you and I today. 2,600 years after Isaiah spoke it to the people of Israel, it is spoken to you today to be reassured that that same word with the same purpose and the power has been given to you and I, praise God. When the rain comes, does the barren land have anything to do? No, nothing. Nothing more than to receive this precious gift and then to respond to this gift with new life once again. So it is with God's word. God's word is for everyone, for everyone. What do you have to do? What do they have to do? Nothing. Nothing more than to receive this word, to soak it up as the ground would soak it up, to become a part of your being, and then to respond to the word in a new life. This is the power and the purpose of God's word. This is the word that was given to you, to me. This is the word revealed in the life of Christ. This is the word with its power and purpose through the Holy Spirit, which will work in your life and in my life. Amen. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.